such a stranger way, such a strange way, a strange way to save the world. Oh, oh, oh. All year long, we have been talking about ordinary people, because that's kind of us. Ordinary people from the scriptures that God called to do something extraordinary, and what their response was, and their very human response, and God saying, I got this. I've chosen you to do this. And a lot of times with what we call the Christmas story, with Mary and Joseph and the birth and all that other stuff, we are so used to the entertainment value of it. We've seen the TV shows, we've seen the movies, we've seen the Christmas specials. Has anybody seen the video of For King and Country playing Little Drummer Boy? Oh my gosh, they blew the CMAs away, and it's like all of a sudden this group that we knew of, whoa, it's real, you know, and it's just some powerful stuff. But we tend to be drawn into the glamour of it and forget the significance of these very human beings going through the stresses. And that song about Joseph has to be what it was like for him, right? Stress is ordinary. A good friend of mine in his early 20s just had a baby. Not him specifically, that would be a record. That'd be cool. But he and his wife just had a baby boy. And it's kind of fun to watch on social media the joy and the excitement and seeing four generations together, which I've gotten to experience with my grandson, right? And just the joy. It's stressful. Does anybody remember what it was like having a baby? Right? We smartly decided to move the week that Josh came. We bought our first house, we moved in, and you got to understand something, I had everything right where it needed to be. I was the good dad. I was prepared because I had taken those baby boot camp classes. You go and you talk about how to have a baby and what guys should do, and we had just bought a brand new car, so I got the seats scotch guarded in case on the way we had that baby, because we lived in Kentucky and the closest hospital was 20 hours away, right? It took forever to get there, and I'm like, I'm going to scotch guard the car. That's how I'm preparing for a baby. Had the whole set ready to go. And 11:30 one night, as we're unpacking, my wife says, do you think I'm going into labor? From my experience, I don't know. I have no idea if you're going into labor. Tell me this. And so it's like we're supposed to time things. And I'm like, my coaching stopwatch. Wait, it's in a box somewhere. Had no idea where it was. So she's over there going, and I'm trying to find stuff in a box. It's stressful. And you add to that the news that Joseph got. He had his plans all in place, didn't he? Had it all figured out. Dude's got a job. He's good. He just wants to take care of his growing family, and suddenly life is upside down. And what do we do with this ordinary do? What do we do with God when he tells us, hey, here's what I'm going to do in your life, and we can't wrap our brains around it? What do we do with that? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. If you don't know where Matthew is in your Bible, it's about two-thirds of the way back. There's a bunch of guys' names in a row, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Take a look in the table of contents if you have to find it, or tap that app. Matthew chapter 1. I love Matthew. If you want to understand what the Jewish perspective is on the Messiah, read the book of Matthew. He goes into a lot of this stuff, and we'll pull this out. I want you to see in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, when we can't wrap our brains around what God wants us to do, we feel conflicted. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Did you see how Matthew slides in that little Jewish reference there? This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Got the plans all in place. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Had to be a fun conversation. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. This was a good church boy. He was committed to the Old Testament scriptures. He was committed to church. He was committed to the Old Testament. He was committed to God, righteous guy. And he knew what God's word said. And yet, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Man, I love this guy. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. By the way, did you know the verse where Joseph speaks? In all four Gospels, do you know the verse where Joseph finally says something worth recording? Nowhere. Not one time does he have a recorded word. And yet, this is a guy that I long to be. His actions speak louder than words, right? You've heard that phrase? Do you see the ordinary in these two verses? Look at verse 18. They were pledged to be married. They were engaged. Now, Israeli law at the time, engaged meant typically the only way you can get out of that engagement is to get a divorce. They took engagement seriously, right? There was no, let's not do this. It was a process, right? It was a process. Verse 18 also says the ordinary. Remember what I told you? Every little girl dreams of the wedding. What's the boys dream of? Woo! The honeymoon. Before they came together. Song of Solomon fans, they have not grazed their goats. All right? That's the only thing I can remember from the whole Song of Solomon series. They had not grazed their goats. After just a few years of marriage, filled with constant arguments, a young man and his wife decided the only way to save their marriage was to try counseling. Some of us have been there. They had been at each other's throats for some time and felt that this was their last straw. When they arrived at the counselor's office, the counselor jumped right in and opened the floor for discussion. What seems to be the problem? He asked the husband, and before the husband could respond, the wife jumped in and began to list for 15 minutes every problem she saw in their marriage. And just as she was about to continue, the marriage counselor hopped up, walked over to her, picked her up by the shoulders, and gave her a kiss and sat her down. And she was shocked, stunned, and silent. And the marriage counselor said to the husband, "There you go. You need to do that at least twice a week." And the guy said, "Well, I can have her here on Tuesdays and Thursdays." That, you don't like that? Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Oh my gosh, these marriage problems that come along. They hadn't had sex yet. And Matthew says that she's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Right. Right? I've told you before, if somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, the Spirit told me, or God told me to tell you," a lot of times I instantly go, click. Now, I also run by the CTS philosophy when somebody comes and says, "Hey, the Spirit told me," or "God told me to tell you." Anybody know what that is? Consider the source. Consider the source, right? So if you tell me that, whatever. She tells me that, rut-row, right? It is hard enough to determine what God is telling you, and it is worse when someone claims, well, the Spirit told me. What do you do with that? And here's Joseph, just wants to go to work, just wants to be married, just wants to start a family. And now he's being told to consider all this. What do we do? Look at verse 19. What do we do when we can't wrap our brains around the chaos? He was faithful to the law. This is a guy that loved going to the synagogue. This is a guy that loved learning the scriptures. This is a guy that knew God. And he worshiped God through obeying the scriptures. We're told in another account, he is a righteous man. God considered him righteous. He has a relationship with God. But he also knows what Old Testament law says. Because he doesn't really buy the fact that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He knows that adulterous women were taken into the middle of town and stoned to death. Right? The video I desperately wanted to show you this week, I was sharing with Matt earlier, is a take on this story. But I think it was in Arabic. I don't even understand English, but it was a powerful video with no subtitles. But Joseph is asleep, and he's having a nightmare. And in this nightmare, he's just simply going to work. He's gathering wood. He's a carpenter. And all of a sudden, he hears this commotion outside of his shop. And he looks out, and guys are running, and women are peeking out the doorways and stuff. And he steps out into the street and kind of gets pushed along with all the other guys. And they're going through to the center of town. And a guy stands in front of him and looks at him in the eye and puts a stone in his hand. And Joseph looks at the stone, confused, and then looks right in the middle of all these guys that have the stones up in their hands. And there's a very pregnant Mary standing there. And he looks down at the stone, and he looks at Mary, and he looks back at the stone again, knowing what God's law says. And he takes a step forward, and Gabriel appears to him and says, Joseph. And that's where the dream ends. And in this video, Joseph hops up and runs to Mary and says, I get it now. I don't know if that's what happened. But that, seriously, anybody ever have a stress dream before? These things that we can't wrap our brains around. He was faithful to the law, but look at the verse in 19. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. How is he not bitter? How is he not angry? To him, his life has been turned upside down to the point that all these plans he had in his mind have been ruined now by Mary and whoever she grazed her goats with. Why is he not bitter? This guy is amazing, fellas. He cares about God's law and the righteousness of it. He desperately cares for this little girl to the point that he knows he can double down on her disgrace. He can be the one that starts the chain reaction that leads to her being stoned in the center of town. And instead, he chooses, as I pointed out, to quietly divorce her. Right? What do we do when we can't wrap our brains around the chaos? What do we do when we're conflicted? Look at verse 20. We have a choice that we have to make. But after he had considered this, we've all been there, right? Where all the stuff's rolling around in our brain. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Zoom, 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 zoom. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now listen to this next part. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He made his choice already. I'm going to follow God's law, but at the same time, I'm quietly going to divorce her. I have the right to expose her, disgrace upon her family and her, and she dies in that disgrace. He already made his choice. I'm going the divorce route. A lot of us have been there, right? I'm going the divorce route. He made his choice. Then God says, that's just your perspective. Ordinary, right? It's ordinary. God comes along and says, let me tell you the extraordinary. Let me tell you about the perspective you don't have. And a lot of times what we do is we make these decisions under stress and duress based upon what we think the right thing to do is, right? Then God comes along and says, let me give you a different perspective on all of this. And that's what these verses are, right? Ordinary, now extraordinary. So, didn't have God's perspective. So, in verse 21, take a look at it. What do we do when we're conflicted? We focus on Jesus. I know that sounds so simple, doesn't it? And it sounds like the Sunday school answer. What do we do when we're having problems? Jesus, that's great. But it's not just saying the name. It's literally intentionally focusing on him to the point of, I can't rely on myself. I need someone greater and stronger and more knowledgeable than me to give me perspective. And we do whatever is necessary to do that. Right? So for somebody like me, I've always told you, I go the fasting route. And as you can tell, I need to do some more. I go the fasting route. For you, it might be, I make my family so mad every Sunday on the way to church. Anybody know how? Because they want to listen to WBCL the whole way. Listen, I love the songs. I just hate the way they go about it. I know that I'm the guy that doesn't like WBCL. I love what they do. It just drives me crazy. But one of the great things that they do is they, especially this time of the year, they go into some of the historical perspective of Christmas. And they begin to talk about scriptures in a way that gives us a perspective beyond ourselves. And so my wife changed the channel, not because she hates WBCL, she hates me, right? She's so annoyed with me, and I changed it back. It's okay. But we've got to learn to focus on Jesus. Maybe for you it means switching to WBCL on your way to work and shut off the stupid news. Will you please quit worshiping the news? Will you please quit worshiping the president? Will you please quit worshiping Congress? They're not in charge. He is. Quit it, believers. Turn on WBCL. I can't believe I said that. 93.1 is ESPN Radio. Do it. When we begin to focus on Jesus and look at his perspective, it begins to change everything for us and our choice. So we need confirmation of that, right? So verse 22. Matthew adds this little side note here at the end of the story, not like it's a conversation between Gabriel and Joseph, but he gives us that Jewish perspective. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew sneaks in this scriptural perspective to help us understand that God had this plan all along for Mary and Joseph. And all along, God has had a plan for you. It's not like he revealed it day one of Joseph's life. It may not be time for you to receive it, understand it, have the perspective you need, but he has a plan for you too, and it'll blow you away. When we claim that we know God's word and we act a different way under stress, committed to law, I'm going to divorce her. Christians do that all the time. I'm sure I do it all the time. We've got to stop that. We look to the scriptures for the confirmation of what God is telling us he wants for us, in us, and through us. And then we do verses 24 and 25, and I cannot believe that Matthew recorded these verses. This dude, Joseph, is amazing. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Here is the verse of verses, fellas. Are you kidding me? But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. Remember the whole honeymoon part that I mentioned earlier? This poor girl's got enough on her plate, and this guy loved her enough to say, we'll wait. Oh my gosh. And they gave him the name Jesus. Do you remember what that name means and why they're to give him that name according to what Matthew said earlier through Gabriel? What did Gabriel say? He will save his people from their sins. Guys, if you think that it's all about his birth, and again, I'm not preaching angry, I promise. Let's quit worshiping the holiday. I love Christmas. Look at me. But man, when we recognize his birth to the fact that he came here to die for us, it is so powerful. And here is Matthew letting us know through Gabriel, he came to save us from our sins. Right? That's communion, isn't it? He came to save us from our sins. So we're going to get ready for communion now. And I want you to reflect on where you're at with that whole sinning part. Right? There are things that we need to get right with God. And so scriptures tell us to examine ourselves. So we're going to take this cracker and some juice that represent his broken body and his shed blood, because his name is Jesus and he came to die for my sins. Let's remember that. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for our Emmanuel, for our Jesus, our God with us, our God that came to save us from our sins. We reflect on your grace this morning. Oh, the grace that Joseph showed, the grace that he received, and we do too. We remember your broken body, your blood that was shed for us.
Come, my faithful.
Amen. Let's stand together in prayer invitation this morning. I want to give you that opportunity to find that grace that Joseph wanted to give Mary. Whatever is just weighing on you this morning, I want to encourage you to come down front and let us pray with you. Let's keep singing out this morning. Something different this morning as well. If you're wearing an awesome ugly Christmas sweater, let's take a group photo up front. We've never done that in the 6 years that we've done this. Thank you for your spirit. Let's pray. Father, you alone are worthy. 25 years, God, of preaching this story, and it's amazing the new stuff that you show me all the time. I pray for anyone here this morning, God, that is going through this journey that you've had for them that makes no sense. May you, our alone worthy God, light our path and give us strength. Thank you for this church and for what you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray. Amen.